This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, January 16th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll preview a trial beginning today involving the owners of a Chicago nightclub where 21 people died in 2003 when a riot broke out. We'll also look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Illinois Democratic Senator Barack Obama says he's taking his first step in a presidential bid, filing paperwork that will allow him to raise money for a White House campaign. Obama announced his intentions to start a presidential exploratory committee on his website, barackobama.com. In a video webcast, Illinois' junior senator says the smallness of politics and inability of Congress to deal with the country's biggest problems is his greatest concern. Obama is considered an early favorite for the Democratic nomination. The first-term senator gained national attention with appearances around the country and even a paparazzi photo mentioned in People magazine. Obama says he'll announce more about his plans in his hometown of Chicago on February 10th. Two Champaign County board members want to start a special committee addressing county government's long-term efficiency through the year 2012. Democrat Brendan McGinty and Republican Greg Knott have released a 10-point plan focusing on issues like finances, the number of county board members, and whether the county needs an election commission. McGinty notes some of these ideas have been addressed before, but he says the time to revisit them is now, without an election looming.
We're not looking at an election. People won't turn it political. Some will, I think, in the end. But I think if we can reach the general public and get the information out there, that we have a good chance of actually reaching conclusion with some of these in a more final way, so that the public knows what the county board thinks about this and what the government is doing about these very points. We hear about this all the time from our constituents on both sides.
Knott says issues like the escalated cost of opening the county's new nursing home illustrate the need to think of long-term viability. Other ideas on the 10-point plan include a comprehensive zoning proposal and whether offices like county coroner and auditor are needed. Knott and McGinty are asking County Board Chair Pius Weibel to form the bipartisan committee at the next full county board meeting on January 25th. Ameren Corporation says about 37,000 customers in Missouri and Illinois are still without power today. Most of those outages are in the St. Louis area. Spokeswoman Susan Gallagher says the utility expects all power to be restored by tomorrow night. Meanwhile, just more than 500 Ameren UE customers in Illinois were without power late last night. Ameren spokesman Lee Morris says all are expected to be restored by today. He says those still in the dark were located largely in areas northwest of Peoria. Icy trees and power lines there hampered repairs from wrapping up yesterday. For many parts of the state, warmer than forecast temperatures resulted in more rain than snow during the weekend. By yesterday, only an inch or two of snow had fallen in some spots around Chicago, although the National Weather Service says close to 3 inches fell near the Wisconsin border. In southern Illinois, the Weather Service says above-freezing temperatures made the weekend weather a non-event. Illinois Senior Senator Dick Durbin is calling on President Bush to reconsider his plan to increase troops in Iraq. Sonari Glinton has more.
It's been nearly a week since President Bush announced he was sending more American troops to Iraq. Dick Durbin, the Senate's second-highest-ranking Democrat, has been pushing a non-binding resolution calling for a halt in troop escalation. During an interview, the president said he would move forward regardless of congressional opinion. And now, Durbin says he's willing to go a step further.
There are a number of different approaches we can take beyond that. I just hope that if there's a strong bipartisan sentiment expressed in this resolution on both sides, House and the Senate, that the president will pause and reconsider this policy. I think it moves us in exactly the wrong direction.
The other options Durbin says he'll consider are one that would put a cap on the number of troops deployed in Iraq, and another which would shorten the amount of time troops could spend on the front. He did, however, come out against calls to curb spending on the war. I'm Sonari Glinton.
Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels says he hopes his State of the State speech will spread a sense of optimism about new steps to improve the quality of life in Indiana. Daniels delivers his third State of the State address at 7 Eastern time tonight before a packed House chamber. His top budget priority is beginning a phase-in of statewide full-day kindergarten, first for kids who receive free or reduced price lunches at school. Daniels wants authority to have a private company build and operate a tollway around a large portion of Indianapolis, connecting Interstate 69 northeast of the city with I-70 to the southwest. He also wants to let a company make an upfront payment to operate the Hoosier Lottery, with the money being used to provide new college scholarships and professorships. Groups from four different Champaign County high schools spent their Martin Luther King Day in song and discussion. For the last several years, the Interact Club of Urbana High School has invited choir members and other students to the University of Illinois campus for an observance of Dr. King's life. The coordinator and a teacher at the high school, Grace Mitchell, hopes students gain new insight into community service through the event.
We're hoping that through the messages and through the coming together in brotherhood today, that the young people will take something away from here with, as an individual, I can do this, or maybe I can help someone that lives across Wright Street or outside of Champaign or Urbana city limits. You know, sincerely come together and hear the message that we're trying to present.
The event also featured Urbana High School's step dancing team and group discussions among students on race relations. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Opening statements are expected in Cook County Criminal Court this morning in the trial of the owner of the E2 nightclub. Nearly 4 years ago, in February of 2003, 21 people died and more than 50 were injured when a fight at the club led to panic. Many patrons fled down a narrow staircase only to find the exit door locked and were crushed. Now E2 owner Dwayne Kiles and three of his colleagues face involuntary manslaughter charges. Diantha Parker looks back at the tragedy and what both sides will need to prove.
The E2 incident was international news when it happened, and as days went by, the wrongdoing and embarrassment seemed to be shared by both the city and the club owners. Patrons who'd survived the evening, as well as firefighters on the scene, said there were an estimated 1,100 people inside when security staff used pepper spray to break up a fight. The numbers and crowd control tactics were just the beginning of the problems, said then-Chicago Fire Commissioner James Joyce.
Any public assembly is required to have a certain number of exit doors depending on the size and the capacity of the crowd, and those doors are obviously not to be locked or blocked. We found doors locked, we found doors blocked by storage, and in some cases it would appear to be bags of laundry, maybe restaurant type laundry. Those are violations.
The incident was a drastic example of why such rules exist. At a vigil outside the club the next day, David McGraw said he'd rushed over when he saw the news on TV and recognized his daughter's hair. It was sticking out from under the pile of people that tumbled out of the club when firefighters broke open the doors. She didn't make it.
You know, they say one minute they saw her and the next minute they didn't. She was so small. You know, she's very petite. You know, like a wind come through and blow up. You know, so I could just imagine what she went through trying to fight off that rush. It was too much.
Owner Dwayne Kiles and three of his colleagues now face involuntary manslaughter charges, although Kiles, by choice, is the only one who'll face a jury. Last week, his partner Calvin Hollins Jr., club manager Calvin Hollins III, and promoter Marco Flores opted for a combined bench trial. Cook County Criminal Court Judge Dennis Porter will preside over both. Kiles is ultimately responsible for the property and will have to answer for why it was open in the first place. Prosecutors will say he violated a 2002 court order to close. That litigation is ongoing, but Kiles and Hollins Jr. have said the order required them to close only the skyboxes above the dance floor. Prosecutors have said they'll ask the judge who made the ruling to explain it, and other witnesses may be called to explain why such a booming business escaped the notice of inspectors. A heads up, if you don't want to hear recordings of 911 calls from that night, turn down your radio now. But they might be used as evidence by both sides.
Security or whatever, I don't know who's helping us, can't get out. Ma'am, they won't open the back door. There's only one way out.
Then go out the other door. Okay, the fire department is out in front of the building right now.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Hello?
But I don't, there's not another door out in here. I don't know what the hell they said. He was calling out.
Help is on the way, okay?
And here's one more recording.
Listen, we know there's a lot of people there, and the firemen are outside, okay? They're trying to get to everybody.
Oh, stop, kick down some doors or something.
Ma'am, they're there.
Okay, thank you.
The 911 calls could be helpful for the prosecution because of the eyewitness accounts of the blocked exits, but also for the defense because of the interaction between callers and operators. When these tapes became public, many African American leaders felt they were indicative of the city's dismissal of the black community's distress and its safety. This trial was scheduled to begin last week, but jury selection took longer than expected, partly because the first pool of about 36 jurors said they'd either read or seen news accounts of the case over the past 4 years. I'm Diantha Parker.
In the forecast for the region, cloudy skies expected today with scattered flurries this morning. Colder with a high around 22 degrees. Wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour this morning. Mostly clear this evening with a low around 12 degrees. For tomorrow, sunny skies with a high around 28. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, January 16th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.